You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm still your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. And we here at EFR love our brothers and sisters. And this is a shout out to you. This message I've been waiting to give for a while. And the title of this message is, are you ready? The Pope Says. Yes. I think you're going to like this one, but I wanted to clean up a few things. I told you if I was ever wrong about something, I would clean it up. Last week, I told you that Esau had 11 sons. That's not true. I had to redouble check it just to make sure. He had 3 sons, but they had 11 sons. Not including Amalek, who wasn't one of the dukes. So there were 11 dukes of Edom, according to Genesis chapter 36. Dukes. Yes, you heard it right. 11 dukes of Edom. Another little thing I'd like to speak about for a moment or two is you can clearly see, even if you were ignorant, even if you don't know that the Jews are our enemy and the Jews at war are at war with us and have been for a very long time, all you have to do is look in today's articles to see just how bad the Jews hate us. And what I mean by that is, just look at the political arena. That's all you have to look at. Now, Donald Trump, whatever he may be, whomever he may be, we will find out eventually. But at this point, he's claiming he's going to make America great again, which means he's going to make it conducive to whites again. And the Jews are all up in arms, and they have formed all kinds of alliances against him. And yet, at the same time, they have people that showed up at his campaign, Jews who were claimed to be the real Jews who are against Israel over there. Oh, the Hegelian dialectic at play again and again and again and again. However, the Koch brothers have now decided they're going to go against Donald Trump, and George Soros is going against Donald Trump, and all of Jewry has declared war on Donald Trump, which means that's all you have to look at as even the most ignorant of people to understand that the Jews are against something. And that they have risen out of the dust, out of the mire, out of their hiding places, out of the darkness that they live in. And they've popped their ugly heads out to resist a great America. Oh, they will tell you, oh no, this man is today's Hitler and that's why we've risen. No, 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 no. I will eventually explain to you that as I study, the more I study Hitler, the more I realized that he did everything right, at the beginning at least. He did everything I would do if I became leader of this country. Only I have even more ideas. The UN would be kicked out of this country in a heartbeat. I'll go into that with you at some point. It's very, very intriguing, very interesting. And if you can't see by the time I'm done speaking to you about it, if you can't see that he did all the right measures, then you're just blind. You know, they talk about the burning of books. Well, let me just hit you with this one point. The books they were burning weren't books of learning that were of value. These were books by Jews, by feminists, and a lot of this was being taught in the schools. So the children's minds were being poisoned with Jewish literature. So he had them bring the books and burn them, whether it would be pornography, whether it would be feminist books, Sigmund Freud, anything you can think of, they burned them. But they didn't burn Aryan works that were of value or anything like that. The image that the Jewish press would give you was that Hitler was trying to dumb down his people, so they went out and burned all the books. They didn't want them to learn anything. Another thing they tell you is they took the guns away from the people, and it's the most ridiculous nonsense I've ever heard of. At that point in time, there were probably more guns in Germany than there ever were. Lies. Despicable lies. But wait till I discuss this with you, because you'll be surprised what Hitler had done. All the different things he had done once they had come into power, it'll blow you away. It'll make so much sense to you. Well, I suppose we should get to the kernel of the message. Wait till you get a load of this. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this. But you're going to be amazed. I'm pretty much amazed at it too. But when I think of, you know, it's funny when the, I was going to go into one more thing before I go into this message. But when it talks about the sun being darkened in Revelation, it's very interesting that this pope is the worshiper of the sun. But this pope is darkened. He does not give off the same light that the previous popes gave off, even though their light is fake anyway. But, I mean, at least it was reasonable somewhat compared to this. This pope's light is darkness. So the sun is dark. But let me go into a little part of the book of Revelation just for a little rejoicing. I was listening to Revelation 16, 17, and 13 because I thought Eli and I were going to do something with it this particular week, but I didn't know. I thought we were, but we didn't. But I want to just briefly go over a couple of chapters, and I want to reveal something to you. Okay, in Revelation 17, it talks about, and there came one of the seven angels which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. This whore sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit on a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. This is how we know that this is not Israel the woman. We've already seen Israel the woman. We know who Israel the woman is from the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, who killed the saints? And who killed Yeshua? And who killed those of Yeshua, the martyrs of Yeshua? You say, oh, it's the Catholic Church. No, it's not. It is absolutely Israel, the woman, the bride of Satan, the bride of Hillel, the bride of Shaitan. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and shall go into perdition. And they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, Jerusalem sits on seven mountains. You may not agree with my interpretations and therefore disregard them if you wish. Now, the beast that thou saw was, is Babylon. It's the devil, it's Nebuchadnezzar, it's whatever. And it had fallen, and is not. But it has ascended back out of the pit, and is the eighth beast, as we know from Revelation, which is the banking system or the Babylonian money system, the beast system. Mystery Babylon rides the beast. Who is Mystery Babylon in my opinion? In my pure opinion, Mystery Babylon, I've already spoken it several times. It's the corporations. It's the Rothschilds. It's the bankers. It's the Catholic Church, which is a Babylonian institution, has nothing to do with Christianity. It is a hybrid religion with paganism melded within Christian elements. Mystery Babylon is Freemasonry. Mystery Babylon is Lucius Trust. The UN, and all of its little organizations. Mystery Babylon is those three parts which make up of it. Mystery Babylon is sat right in America at the Pentagon. Right in Washington, D.C., as we know that Washington, D.C. is one. You know, I think of these three as the three frogs, you know, and their representatives would be, you know, who I said before. But the three frogs that are bringing forth this beast system are the military arm, which is in America, the monetary arm, which is in the city of London, within the city of London, which is not part of the UK at all, as you know. And the third frog would be the Vatican. Now, whether I'm right or wrong, you can argue until you're blue in the face. And really, we'll let Yahweh hash it all out. So he says, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. You see why I say they could possibly be the three frogs is because they are the ones that are bringing us forth to Armageddon. Our military system and the monetary system is bringing us further into the beast system in slavery, and the one world arena of religion, of whatever it may be, is all done through the UN and its proxy, the Vatican, you know what I mean? Or vice versa, whichever you wish to say. This is a precursor to what the Pope says, and rightly so. No, it is talking about the Pope. They're riding the beast. They gave their money control over to the beast a long time ago. Yes, they are riding the beast, and they have a cup of abominations. But it really is, you see, they really are the bride of the devil. The Jews are the bride of the devil. When over in Israel, you know how it says in the book of Revelations that Babylon has fallen. Well, there's a plaque over in Israel that says, "Rise, Virgin, rise." You think about it. So this is the bride. As the same way as we are the bride of Christ, that the mystery Babylon is the bride of the devil or the beast. And there, so here we are again. And there are seven kings, five have fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was Babylon and is not, he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. Now this is talking about when it comes to the climax, when it comes to Armageddon. This is where they're pushing it all. The three frogs are pushing it this way. These have but one mind. Now, you can see that in the leaders of today. They have but one mind, and that's to destroy the seed of Jacob, whom we are, the Caucasian people are. They are of one mind. But these aren't the kings yet. And shall give power and strength to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. See, they that are with him are called, and they are chosen, and they are faithful. See? And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Oh, yes. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate naked. See, they will turn on the whore, and shall eat her flesh, and pay attention, and shall burn her with fire. Edom? Can you say Edom? For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Well, in the old days, but when Babylon fell, it was called Tyre. And that was over in Palestine. You get it?
and it fell. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Hello, are we talking about the cat box over there? Rise, virgin, rise. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. We're in chapter 18 of Revelation, by the way, verse 3. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Oh, yes. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Speaking of Babylon, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen. Virgin, rise, I am no widow. And shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. I want you to pay attention now. Listen very closely. Think of Edom now. Think of the book of Obadiah right now. Think about how Yahweh will bring the Holocaust to the seed of Edom, the seed line of Edom, to Esau, and how they will be bundled and burned. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is Yahweh who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth, listen very carefully, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, and they shall see the smoke of her burning. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. Now that's talking about the city of Tyre. But it's also talking about the future of what's to come. So, I just think that's a little interesting, and we'll leave it there, and we'll move on to the message. You see, in reality, you might not think Israel reigns over the earth. It's a small nation, and they don't even have the whole nation. And they really appear to have no power, and yet they are telling Miss Merkel and all the other leaders of Europe to do the things they're doing. And they're telling Abomination, Obama, telling him what to do too. So in a great way, they do have a control over the world through their banking system. They may use Mr. Netanyahu as their mouthpiece to give the warning
But truly, these merchants will cry when they see that place burning, because they know that they'll be burning soon, because they're the next to be gathered up. Okay, let's move along. And hopefully that's of interest to you, what I spoke about. I found it to be, yes, a hybrid religion for a hybrid people. Fornicators, yes. And just like I always say, a hybrid language for a hybrid people, which is Yiddish. You see, the Yiddish is not Hebrew. It has Hebrew elements within it. But it also has some German and some Polish and some different. It's a hybrid language for a hybrid people. So, let's move on to what the Pope says. I think this will be very enlightening to you. It was to me. Although, you know, let's see what you think. Number one. In his September 24th Vespers homily at St. Patrick's Cathedral, addressing a group of priests and religious, it says, Pope Francis said, "We can get caught up measuring the value of our apostolic works by the standard of efficiency, good management, and outward success which governs the business world." In other words, he doesn't want you to scrutinize the apostolic works of the Catholic Church. He doesn't want you to scrutinize it too much. He says, you know, don't measure what we do here in the Babylonian religion, the Babylonian Catholic religion, don't measure us by the standards of efficiency and good management that you do the business world. Because he knows they couldn't measure up, you see. And he wants you to just forgive them for all the little things that may happen, like, you know, Jewish priests who are pretending they're Catholic priests, which they are of Babylon, so it doesn't matter, but they may pretend they're an Irish priest, but they're really a Jew. And they might be diddling little boys, but let's not get caught up in measuring the value of their apostolic works, you see. Don't hold them to those high standards that God would, or that the business world has. They should be, you know, cut them a little slack. They don't have to measure up to even the business world, you see. Not that these things are unimportant, he says. We have been entrusted with a great responsibility, and God's people rightly expect accountability from us. But the true worth of our apostolate is measured by the value it has in God's eyes. I wonder which God he's speaking of. Mary? To see and evaluate things from God's perspective calls for constant conversion in the first days and years of our vocation. And need I say, it calls for great humility. The cross shows us a different way of measuring success. I want you to pay real good attention here. Ours is to plant seeds. God sees the fruits of our labors. And if at times our efforts and work seem to fail and produce no fruit, we need to remember that we, as followers of Jesus and his life, humanly speaking, ended in failure, in the failure of the cross. Did you just hear that? So he's even telling you not to even judge them by their fruits. Remember, Yeshua saw a fig tree that produced no fruit? He cursed it, didn't he? But the Pope has a different idea. He says, and if at times our efforts and works, judge them by their fruits, know them by their fruits, and if at times our efforts and works seem to fail and produce no fruit, we need to remember that we are followers of Jesus and his life, humanly speaking, ended in failure, in the failure of the cross. let me do this, let me give you a little hello. This should be ringing bells. The failure of the cross. Is this a Christian man? Is this somebody who is a believer in Jesus Christ? So the Jesus' life, humanly speaking, ended in failure, in the failure of the cross, when we all know that on the cross he overcame. And next up on The Pope Says, a person who thinks only about building walls, wherever they may be, and not building bridges, is not Christian. This is not the gospel, the Pope told journalists who asked his opinion on Trump's proposals to halt illegal immigration. Now, you can see Babylon is against Trump. Remember what I said earlier in this message? Babylon and Jewry are after Trump, okay? So they don't want anybody to make America great again. They don't want America to be great and be white again. Because the Pope recently stated that Europe should end. Okay? Here's what so about this person. A person who thinks about only building walls, wherever they may be, and not building bridges, is not Christian, according to The Pope Says, right? This is not the gospel. Of course it's not the gospel. You see, we shouldn't be building bridges to our enemies. We shouldn't be building bridges to false religions. We shouldn't be building bridges to satanic operations. We should be building only walls up over these things, or destroying them completely. What he's implying is that we need to have a bridge open to everybody, whether it's a homosexual, whether it's anything evil. Let's even open up a bridge to Lucifer himself. As a matter of fact, it will not be part of this message, but I will let you know that in 2013, this very Pope, he declared Lucifer to be God. And they did it singing Latin. You can find this right on YouTube anytime you wish. Right on my YouTube channel, for instance. So we should be building bridges to every satanic creature. Everyone, atheists, we should be building bridges to everyone, not walls up against them. Does that sound like anything Yeshua might have said? No. And now the Pope says something else. Let's see what the Pope says here. Let's listen to this now. You just heard me say this word several times in Revelation 17 and 18. Are you ready for this one now, ladies and gentlemen? I don't think you've heard this. Masturbation and fornication are no longer sinful. I'm just leaving some air there. I'm going to take a sip of coffee while you think. Let me say it again. Masturbation and fornication are no longer sinful, the Pope says. What does Yahweh say about fornication all through the Bible? This man supersedes Yahweh? And then he pretends he doesn't know what fornication is. He says adultery is only a sin for the first 7 years of the marriage, after which I totally understand you wanting to experience coitus with fresh genitalia. I will also be applying an ex post facto reprieve for persons spending time in hell
for sexual sins. Okay, you see what I mean about the sun is dark? They will all be set free and sent to heaven, he says. These things are now virtues worthy of heaven. Masturbation and fornication. These are now virtues worthy of heaven. I mean, it has to be a virtue. I've had the worst backache for some 40 years now, but after last night I feel so relieved. I think I can go for a walk and even a jog later. The primate of Italy then thought for a moment and changed his mind. Actually, no jog. I think I found a much better way to spend my time alone. Yes, by the way, he had a negress as a secretary, and she was, I believe, 7 months pregnant, and she just got killed somehow. I wonder if that's how he spent his time alone. So pay attention to this again, because this is important for me to read this. I want you to just make sure you're getting this now. Masturbation and fornication are no longer sinful. Adultery is only a sin for the first 7 years of marriage. Have you ever read that in Yahweh's law anywhere? No, I don't think you will either. After which, I totally understand you wanting to experience coitus with fresh genitalia. I will also be applying an ex post facto reprieve for persons spending time in hell for sexual sins. They will all be set free and sent to heaven. These things are now virtues worthy of heaven. You know, who knows, you know, these quotes. Now, I've seen after he's made some of the quotes he's made, they've had to do some serious backtracking, and they claim that he never made these comments and that this is all just a bunch of BS and so on and so forth. But I've seen so many comments that this idiot has made that I believe it. He may have put it in a little different way than this, but I believe that he said these things because I've seen the kind of craziness that has come out of his mouth. Let's go to the next one. This man bows down to the Jews. Now, he's supposed to be the top dog of the world, and he's training the so-called Christians, which are Babylonians. He's training them to bow down to the Jews, that even this vicar of Christ bows down to the Jews. They also say that his cross offends them. The Jews say that. You know, the Jews that say that we should not focus on what separates us, but focus on what brings us together, like money, like you giving money to Israel. That brings us together, you see, as Jews. But here we see them telling him that the cross offends them. They're telling the real truth there, and they made him cover the cross when he was in their presence, so they wouldn't be offended. And he reciprocated, of course. He obeyed. On Wednesday, the Bishop of Rome addressed, get this, 11,011 Gog, Esau, Dukes of Edom, 11,000 ticketed guests on the south lawn of the White House, during which he pontificated on, more like he defecated, on the dire importance of exhibiting religious tolerance. Hold it. Hold it. The word tolerance is a word directly from the Jews of communism. See, they will not tolerate us. They will not tolerate whiteness. They will not tolerate the Ten Commandments being in public.
They will not tolerate the use of the word Yahweh, but you and I should tolerate homosexuals. And you and I should tolerate their new ploy where they want to have sex with little children. And George Soros gives to NAMBLA, by the way. You should tolerate that. We must, you see, what the Pope says here is, he pontificated, he defecated on the dire importance of exhibiting religious tolerance. I mean, we must just tolerate every religion but Christianity, the true Christianity. We must tolerate Buddhism, we must tolerate Satanism, we must tolerate Judaism, which isn't even a religion. We must tolerate the Muslims. But we cannot tolerate Christianity. During his hour-long speech, a smiling Pope Francis, smiling, he learned that from the Jews, was quoted telling the White House guests that the Quran and the spiritual teachings contained therein are just as valid as the Holy Bible and should therefore be respected as such. Yes, Jesus Christ, Jehovah, Allah, these are all names employed to describe an entity that is distinctly the same across the world. That's a lie. Jehovah is not Yahweh's name. It was made up by a monk. Allah is a moon god. And the moon god's name is Hubal. And who is Hubal? Baal. These are all, Lord Baal. These are all names employed to describe an entity that is distinctly the same across the world. For centuries, blood has been needlessly shed. He ought to know. The Catholic Church has shed much of the blood we're speaking of. For centuries, blood has been needlessly shed because of the desire to segregate our faiths. This, however, should be the very concept which unites us as people, as nations, and as a world bound by faith. Together we can bring about an unprecedented age of peace. Here it is again, ladies and gentlemen, under the auspice of peace. Now, let me ask you a question now. The Pope just said that he called for the end of Europe. Okay, he's anti-white because he's following the Jews. And now all of a sudden you've got Muslims coming into Europe declaring jihad in the name of their political movement, which is in the guise of a religion. Now, how is this going to be? Is this another one of his pretended, one of the devil's pretended ages of peace? All we need to achieve such a state is respect each other's beliefs. For we are all children of God, regardless of the name we choose to address him by. I don't think that's true, Mr. Francis, Pope Francis. Yahweh says that there's a seed line, and he says that they are not of God, that their father is of the devil. So therefore, they are not the children of God. He also says, let me just whip this up real quick. He also says right at the end of Revelations, let me see if I can pop this up real quick. Mr. Pope. Okay. This is incredible. Okay. I'm looking for the part where it says that nobody
Okay, it says in verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. See, not blessed are those who said the prayer and just, you know, walked off. It said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. See, those who do his commandments are the ones that are going to have the right to the tree of life. Not fornicators. Okay? And they may enter into the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That's you, Mr. Pope Francis. That's you. So, no, we are not all the children of God. But let's move along with what he says. We can accomplish miraculous things in the world by merging our faiths. Oh, another hybrid. Now, Yahweh says we would keep things pure, and he doesn't really even like religion. But this Pope says we could merge our faiths all together. I mean, you can merge Satanism with Christianity. And, of course, the Jews have already merged Judaism, their political movement, with Christianity, creating Judeo-Christianity, which is the Jewish version of Christianity. Now, there's already a hybrid. The Jews have led the way, and the Pope is about to follow the Jews. And who are the Jews following? They're following their father, Lucifer, you see. Do you see? So, you see that the Pope is subservient to the Jews by his actions of bowing down to the Jews and covering up his cross because they wouldn't want to offend him. And yet, they want to meld everything together and pretend everything comes together and that we all get along. Like I said, think about it again. The Jews say this to the Christians. Let's not focus on what separates us, or keeps us apart. Let's focus on what brings us together. Let's be positive, do you understand? Let's have a positive attitude. Now, what separates us and the Jews? Yeshua Christ. Let's not focus on, so let me interpret that for you. What the Jews are saying to these Judeo-Christians. Let's not focus on Jesus Christ. Let's focus on what brings us together as Jews and Christians. And yet, when they see the Pope, they make him cover his cross. They're not focusing on what brings them together, you see. They see Jesus Christ, so they want him to cover that up. Now, there's a second testimony of that, okay? I think you should be beginning to understand about Judeo-Christianity, that it is a hybrid religion, and this is the way the devil is bringing everything forward. The Jews showed the example by meshing Christianity with Judaism, a political movement, not a religion. It's in the guise of a religion. It is not a religion whatsoever. It has nothing to do with religion. It's in the guise of a religion. Okay? So, the Pope is following that. And when he says, we can accomplish miraculous things in the world by merging our faiths. Hybrids. Everything today is hybrids. We can mix our races. We can mix our countries. We can mix our drinks. We can mix our faiths. And it's all going to lead to peace, ladies and gentlemen. If you paid attention to my last few weeks' shows, you'd find out that if we just killed all the Germans, we would have had peace. but we killed a lot of them, most of them, and there's still no peace. As a matter of fact, there's less peace now than there ever was at any time in the world. Except before us, I'm sure. Whatever happened before Yahweh replenished the earth. And now if we just kill all the white people and merge our religions together. Now just remember, this is the institution. This is Mystery Babylon, who rides the beast, who is part of Israel. It's all it is. It's the same thing. It's subservient to Israel. It's had Jewish popes, many Jewish popes. And many of those diddlers are Jews, you know darn right well. That those diddlers in the Catholic Church are Jews posing as priests. Well, they are priests of Baal. So he says we can accomplish miraculous things in the world by merging our faiths, and the time for such a movement is now. We must move on this immediately. Don't even think about it. No longer shall we slaughter our neighbors over differences in reference to their God. Yet the Muslims are coming in to kill all of us. In peace, of course. Well, there will not be peace until Whitey's killed anyway, right? So that's the way the Pope calls for the end of Europe. So the pontiff drew harsh criticism last December after photos of the 78-year-old Catholic or Babylonian leader was released depicting Pope Francis kissing a Quran. Oh, yes. A sweet, sweet fellow this devil is. The Muslim holy book was given to Francis during a meeting with Muslim leaders after a lengthy Muslim prayer held at the Vatican. St. John Paul II has courted several controversies since being elected Pope Benedicto XVI's replacement in 2013. Francis has gone on record to say that homosexuals are not to be judged. Proselytism is a fallacy and has endorsed the use of contraceptive by Catholics. So, Yahweh himself says that homosexuals are to be put to death. Pope Francis says that homosexuals are not to be judged. Who are you going to listen to, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to listen to Yahweh. But who are you going to listen to? This freak? This affirmative action pope? This mental midget that is not qualified for his job any more than Obama, abomination, is qualified for his job, any more than Merkel is qualified for her job, any more than any of these leaders, as I spoke of before. They're not qualified. They're affirmative action dummies, puppets. If you were a Catholic Christian and you stay in this thing after this man says this, then don't be surprised when the hammer of Yahweh comes down upon your head. The Vatican will meet again with Muslim leaders in late October, where they plan to talk about further steps that can be taken to spread understanding and awareness of the Islamic religion. Pope Francis delivers his Urbi et Orbi to the city of the world, blessing from the central balcony of St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican, Friday, December 25th, 2015. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Pope Francis says, God opens heaven's doors to non-believers who obey their conscience. Shaking a widely held assumption about Christian beliefs and reinforcing his image as the most progressive pontiff in history. He's a progressive pontiff. He's gone. See, God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's not progressive. He's just pure who he is. And he's not going to change for the Pope. He's not going to change for you. And he's not going to change for me. And rightly so. But the Pope, he is progressive. Listen again now. God opens heaven's doors to non-believers who obey their conscience. What did I just read to you right here? Blessed are they that do his commandments. Does that sound a little different to you? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. That's Revelation 22:14. Let's see what the Pope says again. God opens heaven's doors to non-believers who obey their conscience, not who obey Yahweh. Do you see there's a little problem here? Yes, I think there's just a wee bit of a problem here. He goes on. You ask me if the God of the Christians forgives those who don't believe and who don't seek the faith. Francis wrote in a little-known 2013 open letter published in the Italian newspaper La Repubblica. Francis was responding to questions from the paper's 91-year-old founder, Eugenio Scalafari. I start by saying, and this is a fundamental thing, it is with everything he says, it seems to be very fundamental, that God's mercy has no limits. If you go to him with a sincere and contrite heart, Francis wrote, the issue for those who do not believe in God is to obey their conscience. Sin, even for those who have no faith, exists when people disobey their conscience. You see? This guy's not cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs or anything, is he? Okay, this is another thing he says. The Pope says, this is quoted, through humility, soul-searching, and prayerful contemplation, we have gained a new understanding of certain dogmas. The Church no longer believes in a literal hell where people suffer. Well, they sure believed in it when they were charging people indulgences, didn't they? He says, the Church no longer believes in a literal hell where people suffer. This doctrine is incompatible with the infinite love of God. You see, this is the Jesus Christ, the Jewish Jesus. That the Jews have created. You know, the hippie who loves everything, everybody, he loves homos. Everybody's God's children. He loves the whole world. He loves Esau. He loves the devil. He loves sin. He doesn't judge the sinner. He just judges the sin. He hates the sin. Doesn't hate the sinner at all. He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful being. He continues, God is not a judge, but a friend and a lover of humanity. You are hearing this. You really are. This isn't just a bad dream. You really are hearing this. God is a judge. He said God, and Yeshua is the one that comes between us and God's judgment, Yahweh's judgment. If it weren't for Yeshua's on the cross when he overcame, if it wasn't for that, we would be facing the judge, Yahweh, and we would all be gonzo. Yeshua was not defeated on the cross.
He overcame on the cross and was the first resurrection, the first to overcome. He was not defeated. So he's telling you a lie here. God is not a judge, but a friend and a lover of humanity. God seeks not to condemn, but only to embrace. Like the fable of Adam and Eve. Did you catch that? Like the fable of Adam and Eve, we see hell as a literary device. You're going to see a lot more than that, Pope Francis. You're going to see the judge. And if you let anybody tell you that Adam and Eve is a fable, you are severely mistaken. Hell is merely a metaphor for the isolated soul, which, like all souls, ultimately will be united in love with God. All souls. Oh, really? Really, Pope Francis? Is that what's going to happen? Jeez, these are tickling my ears right now. Yeah, you know what I mean. No wonder we don't want to listen to somebody telling the real truth. Oh, this sounds good. God's not a judge. There's no such thing as hell, so I can just do whatever I want because he is an infinite love for the human race. All the human race, of course. Though he just really speaks to one race, which is the Adamic race. He just made covenants with one race. But the Pope seems to see things in such a different light. So positive, like the devil's positive attitude. I will be like the Most High. You surely will. And when you said that, you were cast down. So I don't think you're going to be like the Most High. You may wish you could be him, like your children wish they could be Israelites, but you can't be, and they can't be. It's just the way it is. So God is not a judge. He's a friend and a lover of humanity. He seeks not to condemn. I mean, he only put the law out there. He doesn't want to condemn anybody. He wants to embrace everybody. Like the fable of Adam and Eve, we shall see hell as a literary device. Hell is merely a metaphor. We could just use that word metaphor for everything. For an isolated soul, which, like all souls, ultimately will be united in love with God. And if you believe that, well, I don't think you know who God is and what he's said many times. I just read you some of it out of what's going to happen to Mystery Babylon. Are they going to be united in love with God, with Yahweh? No, they're going to be burned. Ah, here he is. This Pope, I tell you, he's definitely not qualified for this position. He says in this little quote, "All religions are true because they are true in the hearts of all those who believe in them." So if I believe in fairy tales, those are true too because it's true in my heart. I believe it. Like you, you're a fairy tale. Only I don't believe in you, Pope Francis. What other kind of truth is there, he says. In the past, the church has been harsh on those it deemed morally wrong or sinful. Today, see, they're progressive. The church is progressive. They're progressing forward. They've gone past Yahweh and his law and his judgments. Listen what he says now. In the past, the church has been harsh on those it deemed morally wrong or sinful. Today, we no longer judge. Like a loving father,
We never condemn our children. Our church is big enough for heterosexuals and homosexuals, for the pro-life and the pro-choice, for conservatives and liberals. Even communists are welcome and have joined us. Oh, I would say so. And we all love and worship the same God. We all know that communists believe in God. Ladies and gentlemen, you agree with that, don't you? Yes. Listen again to this now. Today we no longer judge. I want you to, this is your Catholic Church. This is your pontificating. Or I like to say, defecating. Today we no longer judge. Are your ears tickling? Do you feel a little sensation? Today we no longer judge. If you want to kill people, if you want to be a homosexual, if you want to disobey all Yahweh's laws, don't worry about it. We no longer judge. Like a loving father, we never condemn our children. We don't care what you've done. I don't care if you've killed millions. We love you. Our church is big enough for heterosexuals and homosexuals, for the pro-life and the pro-choice, for conservatives and liberals. Even communists are welcome and have joined us. We all love and worship the same God. Yes, you do. Lucifer. And he's not even a God. He's a wannabe angel. He will never be God. Just like you said about your fairy tales, that you believe he's a God because it's true in your hearts and all those who believe in this God. This is not the God Yahweh, ladies and gentlemen. This is a fake God. And this is universalism to the, it would make you want to vomit. Number one, you can't put conservatives and liberals together because it would be just pure fighting. You can't put any of those together with communists, because that would be pure fighting. You can't put heterosexuals with homosexuals, because that's pure fighting. You can't even put homosexuals with homosexuals, because there's fighting. You can't put pro-life and the pro-choice together, because they fight each other. And you're talking about peace. Ladies and gentlemen, open your ears. Open your eyes. Listen to what I just said to you. Go back and turn the tape back, or turn the recording back, and listen to what I just said to you. You can't take two opposite magnets and shove them together and make them stay together if they're not going to stay together. Do you understand that? No matter how much you try to put them, you can pass laws, you can force them together with something, but they can't stay together. Once you set them free, you can lock them together, but once you set them free, they will go right apart again. They're polar opposites. And all the laws that Yahweh has put in deems that incorrect. You are out of order, Pope Francis. You are out of order. You are out of order of the universe. You are out of order of Yahweh. You are out of order of the laws of nature. You are severely out of order. In the last 6 months, Catholic cardinals, bishops, and theologians have been deliberating in the Vatican City. One of the frogs. You see, this has to be the three frogs. In discussing the future of the church and redefining long-held Catholic doctrines and dogmas, the Third Vatican Council is the largest and most important since the Second Vatican Council has concluded in 1962. Pope Francis convened the new council to finally finish the work of the Second Vatican Council. The Vatican Council concluded with Pope Francis announcing that Catholicism is now a modern and reasonable religion, which has undergone evolutionary changes. You see, God does not change. His law does not change. The only thing that changed is when When Yeshua died on the cross, we didn't have to do the sacrifices anymore. It ended sacrifice. But it didn't end God's law. It didn't end anything. It didn't change his mind. He has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But here we have a progressive religion that is progressing and melding into. You see, it started out as a hybrid religion, and now it's going to further meld into many more hybrids to eventually become the brown man religion, which has undergone evolutionary changes. The time has come to abandon all intolerance, except for against whites and Christians. So we can tolerate anything now, says this Pope. The Pope says we can tolerate anything. You believe that? We must recognize that religious truth evolves and changes. We must recognize that religious truth evolves and changes. Truth is not absolute or set in stone. Says who, Jew? Even atheists acknowledge the divine. Through acts of love and charity, the atheist acknowledges God as well and redeems his own soul. See, he doesn't need Jesus. He doesn't need Yeshua to redeem his soul any more than Hagee says the Jews need Yeshua to redeem their soul. They can do it themselves through acts of love and charity. Becoming active and participant in the redemption of humanity. What are you going to redeem humanity from? How's that for a question? Answer that, Pope. One statement in the Pope's speech has sent traditionalists into a fit of confusion and hysteria. Listen to this now. I just remember my statement, Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, the Pope says that's not true. He's calling me a liar, and he's calling Yahweh a liar. God is changing and evolving as we are. For God lives in us and in our hearts. When we spread love and kindness in the world, we touch our own divinity and recognize it. The Bible is a beautiful holy book, but like all great ancient works, some passages, get this, are outdated. Some even contrary to the message of love and truth, which otherwise radiates through Scripture. In accordance with our new understanding, we will begin to ordain women as cardinals, even though Yahweh says not to do that. Bishops and priests, they're going to make women cardinals, bishops and priests. In the future, it is my hope that we will have a woman pope one day, and I'm sure you will. Let no door be closed to women that is open to men. After all, we're all equal. Even if Yahweh says in Genesis 3:16 that we're not, that must be one of those outdated things. A few cardinals in the Catholic Church are against Pope Francis' latest declarations. Watch out for the report. It looks like I'm going to have to finish this next week. But let's continue on from here. This is something that the Vatican say. This is a spokesperson said this, okay? So you might as well just call it the Pope says, but anyway. A spokesperson for the Vatican has officially announced today that the second coming of Jesus, the only Son of God, may not happen now after all, but urged followers to still continue with their faith, regardless of the news. These men, some of them with hooked noses, they actually think that they could stop Yahweh from coming by decreeing it. Did you know that the Pope also exonerated Israel for the killing of the Jews? For the killing of Yeshua? He exonerated the Jews for the killing of Yeshua. Now, Yahweh did not exonerate the Jews. and is going to hold them responsible. After all, they said, his blood be on us and our future and our posterity and our children, right? Posterity, whatever I was going to say. So they declared it and they wanted it, and they shall have it. But listen again now, just in case you didn't hear this now. A spokesperson for the Vatican has officially announced today that the second coming of Jesus, the only son of the God, may not happen now after all, but urged followers to still continue with their faith, regardless of the news. Cardinal Giorgio Salvador told WWN that this year's 1981st anniversary is to be the Vatican's last in regards to waiting for the Lord to return to earth. We just feel Jesus is not coming back by the looks of it, he said. It's been ages, like. Oh, he even says like. Isn't that nice? He's talking like a teenager. It's been ages, like. He's probably not flat out doing other really good things for people out somewhere else. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus promised his disciples that he would come again in chapter John 14, 1 through 3 of the Bible. There are many homes up where my father lives, and I am going to prepare them for your coming. Many mansions, it says. When everything is ready, then I will come and get you, so that you can always be with me where I am. If it weren't so, I would tell you plainly. Well, they calling Yeshua a liar, you see. He said it would be so. And he said he'd tell you plainly if it weren't to be so. But they say he's not coming back for you. He lied to you. Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh is a liar, according to Babylon. Now, do you understand Mystery Babylon a little bit better? See, the mystery is, how can these units that have fought each other for so many centuries be one and the same, part of the same thing? It's because of the Hegelian dialectic. That's why. You know, the Jews have fought the Catholics, but eventually became part of the Catholics and the Jesuit order. They are both from Babylon and stemmed from Babylon. The Jews fought Freemasonry for years and years and years. And now many of these cardinals and members of this Babylonian religion are Freemasons, which stemmed, they say, in Egypt. But basically, when you look at it, the first Freemason was the fellow there who was shooting arrows up into the clouds. Oh, man, it's incredible to me. We just feel that Jesus is not coming back by the looks of it, he said. The Vatican, Nimrod is who I'm talking about. The Vatican defended Jesus' broken promise. See, he promised us something, and now the Vatican is calling him a liar. Now, you know the Jews must like that, right? And you know that the Jews must have thought this up. And you know that the poor idiots in the congregation will just say, oh, that's weird. Jesus lied to us. But that's okay. We love Mary anyway. She's the real God of the religion. Let's make cakes to Diana, or whatever it is, the Queen of Heaven. Ah, man, I tell you, claiming he was probably drinking wine at the time he made the comment. See, this must be a little bit of, you know, sarcasm, but, you know, basically, okay. Another thing that they said here is, God is not a divine being or a magician, but the creator who brought everything to life. Evolution in nature is not inconsistent with the notion of creation, because evolution requires the creation of beings that evolve. So God is not a divine being, the Pope claims. The Pope says this. as bishops ended a two-week conference in October by rejecting landmark wording that would soften the church's stance towards homosexuality and divorce, Pope Francis said, God is not afraid of new things. Are you hearing me? Pope Francis said, God is not afraid of new things, and called on the church to adapt to changing conditions in society. These devils speak these things out in the open. This is abomination. This is part of what's in the cup. And they are subservient to Israel. So yes, they are part of Mystery Babylon, who's riding the beast. These people are part of the bride of Christ. I mean, the bride of Shaitan. They're not part of the bride of Christ. So, the bride of Shaitan, or Lucifer, which is a Catholic term created through Latin, its original meaning Halel. They are all the bride of Halel. The Catholics, the Babylonian religion, the Masons, who are made up mostly of Jews and race traders from our race. And then, so then you have the Jews, and then you have all these New Agers and liberals and communists. This is the bride of Halel, who holds the cup of abominations. See, it's just not just the Catholic Church. They are part of the bride. Whether you agree with me or not, I believe that this is the absolute truth. And why do I say that? Because they always do everything that Yahweh does. They copy everything. If there's a bride of Christ, there would have to be a bride of the devil. It just makes pure sense. Upon entering Chinese airspace, I extended best wishes to Your Excellency and your fellow citizens, and I evoke the divine blessings of peace and well-being upon the nation. Okay, what does it say in the Bible about wishing Godspeed? China is another part of it, right? The dragon? Or as Dr. Wesley Swift calls it, the dragon seed. These are all the people. He is blessing. He is wishing Godspeed to the Chinese, who are people of the dragon seed. You understand? So, listen again, I extend best wishes to Your Excellency and your fellow citizens, and I invoke the divine blessings of peace and well-being upon the nation, he said in a telegram sent to China in August while flying over their airspace. Francis's flight itself marks a breakthrough as China refused to allow St. John Paul II's plane to cross its airspace en route to Seoul in 1989. Yeah, the person wrote here. I didn't even see that. It says Godspeed right here. Yes, he's wishing Godspeed upon the children of the dragon seed. I'm telling you, this is something else. We're embarking towards the close of this message, but I'm sure next week will be just as titillating as this week has been. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even when we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall be no flesh justified. Don't let that confuse you. The Apostle Paul's words, when I just read you, and I'm going to read it again. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter into the gates of the city. Well, folks, I think I will begin to cut it there. This so-called man, and he's certainly no pope, he's not qualified to be the head of the Babylonian institution known as the Catholic Church. He's not any more qualified than the leaders of most of the countries of this world. Most of the leaders of the country of this world, I believe, are people that are the same as actors and the same as people in the music business. They sell their soul to become a star. Some like to be a musical star. Some like to be an acting star. Some like to be a political star. They sell their souls, but as you can see in today's music, I don't see anybody qualified to even be a musician these days. Practically all of them can't sing in tune, can't play any instruments, and can't write good songs. And actors, as well as musicians, allow themselves to be a channel, or to be channeled, which means a demon enters them when they're playing the music, and then plays the music for them. But they can't play it themselves that way. Or actors have been known to say the same thing, that they are channels, and when they get up to act, it is actually a demon spirit that comes within them, that they allow inside them to do the acting. Well, it's the same as these politicians. They're not qualified, but they've sold their soul just to become a politician star. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the world we live in today. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.